Praise the Lord. I am so glad to be here. I am so glad to be here this morning. I brought a Bible. I don't think I'll get to use it. We'll see. the only thing I know for sure that I am supposed to read is a part of a prophecy that came through Pastor Brock. Now, this one is not one of the 10 that we call the blueprint, but there's been subsequent instructions. That's the name of this one. So it's still, it doesn't take away at all from the blueprint, but it's helping us subsequent instructions. I think that's a good name for it. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because that's not what he's after today. Gary, what's he after? We'll all know in about an hour. I just know parts. I just know pieces. You ought to see me trying to write. It's just... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The only verse that he gave me this morning, I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to really look up verses, but it's in Matthew 10. And the verse that I kept hearing was, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came to send a sword." And it's during that time where he talks about, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. It's in that context there. They're going to bring you before the legal systems of the day, and they're going to say all manner of evil about you. Don't even prepare ahead of time what you're going to say in your defense. Your Heavenly Father, your Spirit, it is the Spirit of your Father will speak within you what you should say. Well, if he does the same way in us then that he did in Stephen, there was no backing down. There was no backing down, that's for sure. And because he's sending a sword. And he even said, even your own family, if you really read what he's saying there, they'll turn you in to be executed. In Iran right now, that's happening. In other places, that's happening. If they find out that you become a Christian, your own family will turn you in to be beheaded. There's some messages coming along those lines that I can't do today, but they're coming soon. But what he's doing with us right now in this season of 2020 and doing the blueprint, it's a transformation. And the word in Romans 12:2 there, that you be transformed, is metamorpho. I know I'm not saying that right, and I don't care. I like metamorpho. I like how it sounds. And you know what it means? It's metamorphosis. Many years ago, I actually studied that out, how a caterpillar goes through that process and becomes a butterfly. My wife has got beautiful flowers planted all around the house. And all these different butterflies come, and monarchs, and I don't know the names of many of them, but such beautiful creatures, you know, they just, wow, just every color you can think of. And you think, why would God, you know, they could just look like moths. Well, he's preaching to us there. He's teaching us about the beauty that we are once we're transformed into the image of Christ. Because I keep seeing, you know, in recent messages, in one of them he talked about the seed that they found that had been stored in the Egyptian tomb for 3,000 years. And I believe it was wheat seed. It doesn't matter what it was. And it had been sealed airtight for 3,000 years. And they wondered, will that seed still produce? So they took some of it out and they planted it, and did you know it did? And you think about, I remember that time he asked me, he said, have you ever seen on planet Earth any type of plant where you can take a seed, plant it in the ground, water it, nurture it, and when it's fully developed, the plant comes to full maturity It only produces one seed, exactly like the seed that was planted. I said, no, I have never seen a plant like that. And he said, and you never will. Because that was not God's plan. It never has been God's plan. One seed produces many seeds. And get this part, every seed able to do what the first seed did. Does that remind you of a verse? The works that I do shall you do also, and even greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Alan's been teaching on the seed. He's got a YouTube channel, Alan Taylor Ministries on YouTube. Just Alan Taylor Ministries on YouTube. And one of the lessons he taught was about God's original plan with Adam. Of course, Adam was made in the image of God, and everything was perfect. And I like to, I like how Alan said, you know, God, he made one orange tree. You know, maybe made one orange. I don't know. Maybe the seeds fell in. But anyway. But he says that God's plan, you start with one orange tree. But with the seeds that come from that one tree, God's plan was to cover the earth with orange trees. Isn't that right? One tree. All right. Chickens. The old thing. Which came first? Chicken or the egg? Read your Bible. It plainly says he made the birds. It doesn't say he made an egg. He made the birds. The birds came first. He made a chicken. He had to make two chickens. Male and female created he chickens. What was the plan? Cover the earth with chickens. Well, when he made Adam and Eve, Adam was the seed. Humans made in the image of God, with the very nature of God, anointed with the dominion of God. What was God's plan? Cover the earth with. Be fruitful. Multiply. Well, we know what happened with that plan. The seed got corrupted. So the earth is covered with the fruit of corrupted seed. Did you know Christ is called the seed? What is God doing now from one seed? He is producing many seeds. He intends to cover the earth with us. Each seed doing what the original seed did. Did I preach it pretty good? Alan Taylor Ministries. Now the problem is with us, I was thinking about this week. You know, Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares. I've never seen a tare field, have you? But I have seen weed fields. And I think that tare just means something you wouldn't want to eat. So I'm going to pick ragweed because I detest ragweed. Ragweed pollen is causing me misery. I don't know. Ragweed has got to be because of the curse. I don't believe there was ragweed in the garden. Because ragweed has caused me many problems in my life. So see, we're something that never, I can't find this exactly in nature. I can't find this. Where a tare, you got a wheat and a tare. Obviously Jesus is the wheat. Amen? Gary is a tare in the beginning. The tare died. Now normally if you plant tares, what do you get? Tares. Isn't that right? Ragweed. Plant ragweed, you get ragweed. So if a ragweed plant dies and all those seeds fall into the ground, what happens? You get more ragweed. But see, when we died, in Galatians 2:20, it's just been rolling in me and rolling in me and rolling in me. He says, I was crucified with Christ. Let's say it another way. Saul of Tarsus died in Christ. When Christ died, Saul of Tarsus, descendant of Adam, died. Yet in the next breath, he says, I am crucified with Christ. I want to quote it correctly. And I'm not going to trust my memory. Sorry, Lord, if I'm disobeying you. I'm not trying to. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. So Saul of Tarsus died. Nevertheless, I live. Let me ask you something. Does Saul of Tarsus live? No. Saul of Tarsus died. Yeah. Persecutor, hater, murderer, died. Nevertheless, I live. There's an identity, though. He's still him. There's an identity that remains. So there's, I live, but it's not really Saul of Tarsus. So that's why he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Well, it's not Saul of Tarsus. But notice, Christ liveth in me. Now, just for Alan Taylor, I'm going to read this because I was doing it this morning out of the New King James. This is just for Alan. But it does phrase thing. It has one phrase here that spoke to me. In the New King James, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live. That's the phrase. It's no longer Saul of Tarsus. It's no longer Gary, who served Mammon with all of his heart, who served the flesh through alcohol and many other pornography and many other things. It's not that Gary that's living. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, see, there's an identity still. I, in a way, I'm Gary still. There's an identity of Gary, but it's not that Gary. Not the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The King James says, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So let's go back to Galatians 2:20 just for a minute. Well, we're still there. Well, if it's no longer I who live, that phrase, it just kept coming to me. It's no longer I who live. Well, let's say it this way. It's no longer Gary who lives. Well, that would mean it's no longer Gary who loves. It's no longer Gary who prays. It's no longer Gary. It says it's no longer I who live. How about it's no longer Gary who believes? See, the point of the gospel, and you know, this is in Galatians, which the whole book of Galatians is about. Do not go back to the law. You started in the Spirit, be perfected in the Spirit. Don't start in the Spirit and then think you're going to be perfected by the law. So let's think about the law. Under the law system, God gives holiness through his commandments. Here's holiness. And God on the outside of man says, live that. God knew man couldn't. That's why all the sacrifices are in there. But it was God on the outside saying, be you holy as I am holy. God on the outside. There's an absolute fatal flaw in that covenant. Is it the law that's not perfect? The law is perfect. The flaw was in man. That's the guy in Romans 7 who found it. He says, with my mind, your law, I love it. I love you, God. I want to keep your law. With all of his will, he sets out. How many of us have been down that same path? With all of his will. I'm not going to do that bad thing anymore. Mm-hmm. wind up doing it. Well, this good thing over here, I'm going to start doing that. You never quite get around to it. What is wrong with me? The guy in Romans 7, he said, I don't understand this. And he discovered a law. And you see, this law is deeper, stronger than man's willpower. This is the whole problem with the first covenant. God was outside of man, the corrupted man, demanding holiness, which man in his corruption absolutely could not do. Now look at the mercy of God. So instead of just giving up on us and wiping us off and starting fresh, God devises a plan. He doesn't change his law, really. But he devises a plan where God can come on the inside of man. He says, if I give you my strength, if I forgive everything, if I just will start with a fresh slate, and if I come on in the inside, and if I join my spirit with your spirit, and I give you my strength for your strength, so that you are able to be holy. Now I'm calling you, will you be holy? Be you holy. That is the gospel. It's no longer us trying in our own strength to live like God. God has come inside of us with his strength to make us his children, so we can just walk as who we are. Pastor Dave foretold this. It was just a little thing he would say, but it burned in me. I hear his voice every time I think of this thought. I don't hear it in Gary's voice. I hear it in Dave's voice. He said it's a... And he would usually do it when he's teaching that thing about the man that was going to love on his wife. Remember, he started making her breakfast in bed every day. He found out what her favorite food was, and boy, he learned how to make it. With Sue, it would be blueberry pancakes. Blueberry, not on top, cooked in. On top is not good enough. Got to be cooked in, okay? Real maple syrup, not that blueberry stuff. 2 orders of bacon. Toast, hash browns. Oh, now, you're talking real breakfast now. So this man would learn to make his wife's favorite breakfast, and he'd bring it to her. She's still in bed. He'd come in, I love you, sweetie. Oh, you're so sweet, and smooches and kisses, and he's loving on his wife, and that worked for a while. See? But it's an artificial. So after a certain amount of time, one day he brings that same thing in there, and she goes, don't you know how to make anything except blueberry pancakes? And the deal's on again. Near the end of that, see, Dave would make this sentence. This is a sentence that I hear. He would say, he said, that's a good example of humans trying to love. Here's the sentence. It's not hard to love when love is what you are. See, that is exactly the metamorpho that God is doing with us, because God is love. So I was seeing an image this morning of the butterfly. I started this while ago. All I'm trying to do is follow the pictures, okay? The closest thing, I said, I've never seen a plant where the ragweed could die and a wheat stalk would come up. I've never seen that. The closest thing we have to that I've ever seen is a butterfly coming from an ugly, crawling, earthbound caterpillar to these beautiful creatures that land on Sue's flowers. And they're just splendid in color. Every color in the world, just completely different. And I said, Lord, Gary can really relate with the caterpillar. The earthbound, grubby, crawling on the leaves that people want to step on. Spray insecticide on to get rid of it. See? But Lord, in your word, I see the butterfly. I see that you've made me in my spirit the butterfly. I know that the program is in me like it's in the caterpillar. Isn't it in the caterpillar already? The programming is in there. I see it And we're all trying to metamorpho to it. But why am I so miserable? So a while back, he had me study that transformation process, that metamorpho of the caterpillar to the butter. Have you ever read what happens inside that cocoon? See, we're in the cocoon right now. We're not flying quite yet. We're going to be. We're going to be flying. But right now, the year 2020, we're in the cocoon stage. We're in the metamorpho stage. We're in the process of him bringing the, he's doing the dividing right now. I think not that I've come in you. I'm not brought peace right now. I'm brought a sword, and I'm dividing everything out of you that's not of me. You study what happens on the inside of that cocoon. It's a horrible thing. Here comes this innocent little caterpillar, has no idea what's about to happen to it. But it's programmed in the caterpillar, and it starts weaving this thing. And suddenly the caterpillar's inside it. First off, it's 100% darkness. There's no light in there at all. You ever felt like that? Don't answer. Don't answer. Gary has. Felt worse before this process than I did before. I had a little light before. Now, it's completely dark. Where are you, God? Anyone? No one? Okay, don't answer that either. Where are you? You know what happens? That thing starts secreting from within itself a chemical that dissolves it. Oh, that's got to be fun. I feel exactly like that. A lot of times come down here for 8 hours of prayer. I'm dissolving, Lord. He goes, good. There's no light. That's right. I feel worse than before. It's no longer you that's going to come out of this thing. Gary, when you come out of this thing, it's not going to be you that liveth. So I've never seen a ragweed plant die, fall into the ground, and come up a stalk of wheat. But I have seen a caterpillar, a grubby, crawly thing that nobody... I've never seen anybody with a pet caterpillar. This is Billy Joe Bob, my pet caterpillar here. I show it everywhere I go. Everybody, take a look at me. You don't ever see anybody loving a caterpillar. Boy, do they like butterflies, you know. Man. But that metamorpho process is not pleasant, and it's a complete dissolving. You read that thing? How in the world it comes out still being it? See, it had a life before. It's still, somehow, its identity is it's still it on the other side. But boy, is it a transformed it. That's exactly what's happening to us right now. And there's a dividing, a separation, a bring me gold. Well, that, you don't bring gold without getting rid of the dross. And that getting rid of the dross is the metamorpho process that's going on in us right now. So let me read the prophecy. And I'm just going to read this one paragraph. And really, if I was going to summarize this whole prophecy, he's saying, don't be discouraged. Do what you can. If you can't pray 8 hours, can you pray 15? If you can't fast a whole day, can you fast lunch? Do, you know, and he's pleased with whatever we're doing. So that's kind of the essence of the whole thing. Don't be so hard on yourself. But you remember when he told me years ago, he says, when we are really in the revival and the supernatural is just flowing like water, he says, you'll look back on these days and just laugh that you ever thought it was so hard. When I read this paragraph, it's just more detail on that sentence. So here it is. This is the Lord talking to us. He says, you'll be surprised. As I have said in other prophecies, you will wonder in the days ahead of how easy these things will be. And how that just effortlessly that you'll be able to lay hands on the sick. It'll be like a drink of water, a breath of air. The strain of trying to push out doubt through the mortification of flesh, mortifying flesh or mind trying to mortify the mind, is not the appointment that I've given you. I've given you, as I've said in reference to other prophecies, I've given you the authority, and that you are to move out of that authority. And that place, now get this sentence, move out of that authority and that place in which everything comes from the exuding of my anointing inside of you. And I wrote in red ink, Christ in you. See, Christ in you. So again, I see the vision of the wheat. One wheat stalk, and it produces many wheat stalks, and I'm just one of the seeds that grows on the wheat, Gary. But I'm not a ragweed, thank God forever. Somehow I went through this metamorphosis process, and I'm wheat now, and I think about this. Wait a minute. It's not me and the first wheat seed in me, really. We're not like two separate lives in here. I have become. How do you word it? I have become one with him. There's no separate. I have become him. Now don't get me wrong, I know I'm not Jesus. But he's trying to get across to us that we keep having this idea, because it does say Christ in us. But see, Paul goes later on, he writes to the Philippians, and he says, for me, in other words, as far as I'm concerned, for me to live is Christ. Well, isn't that exactly what a wheat seed says? That's 6,000 years removed from the original wheat seed that God created in the garden? Wouldn't that wheat seed say, I can do everything the first wheat seed did? Why? Because I'm one. We would say I'm a child of God. Christ is in me. The wheat seed would say the life of the original seed is in me. The program of the original seed is in me. The ability to produce what the original seed did is in me. It exudes from me. The wheat seed does not try and be a wheat seed. The wheat seed just is a wheat seed. That's what this prophecy is saying. We're going to become so metamorphosed, so identified with Christ. It is still Christ, don't get me wrong. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Don't write me no letters. I'll write you one back. You won't like it. No, anyway. Yeah, you will. There is coming an identity beyond where any of us have walked before. You little butterfly, you. You are not who you were before. Your flesh, the world, your family, your history wants to tell you you are. But you are not. Try and tell the butterfly it's still a caterpillar. You'll never convince it. But the devil keeps trying to convince you, child of God, that you're still a child of Adam. And you are not. One morning this week, I kept hearing two phrases together. You know, Paul prayed that that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Remember that? That Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. So I kept hearing, Christ lives in my heart by faith, is the way I would hear it. Then that would couple with something Jesus said when they asked him, well, what must we do to do the works of God? So they said, they asked it plural. What must we do to do the works, plural, of God? But Jesus answered back in the singular. And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. Now, if the Holy Spirit is putting those two statements together, sent where? He's not talking about when Jesus was sent to earth. He's talking about when you got born again and Christ came into your heart. That Christ dwells in my heart by faith. And I believe my work is to believe on him whom God hath sent into my heart. There's a verse that says, he that is joined to the Lord. And in the passage, it's drawing a comparison because everybody understands what fornication is. It's two people joining their bodies together, and it says they become one. But he draws an analogy from that, and he says, now he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Joined to the Lord with we understand, okay, not trying to get too graphic. But there was you and there was the Lord. And then you got joined together. Let's see now. If there was me and there was the Lord, I had a spirit, he had a spirit. But somehow through this new birth, my spirit, he somehow has come in and joined with me. When he did that, there's a recreation that happens in our spirit that's instantaneous. That's called a new creature. I went from ragweed to wheat. Can I say it like that? But he didn't just come and change me to wheat and then leave. He came, joined with me, and stayed. Say it with me. Christ lives in my heart by faith.
Christ lives in my heart by faith.
And I believe on him, whom God has sent into my heart. No wonder the works that he did, I do also. I am a seed made in the image of the first seed, Jesus Christ. God wants to cover the earth with this seed. And this seed, me, I can do the same works that the first seed did. Because that's always been God's plan. Don't oranges still make oranges? Don't apples still make apples? The law of Genesis, every seed will produce after its own kind. We've seen how the first seed produced. And he's calling on us, the current seeds, to produce. And none diminished, no less than the original. God's plan, aren't you? It's been 6,000 years since the Garden of Eden. What if every generation, every harvest, every year, what if the seed from the next year was just a little bit diminished from the first seed? And then the next one. In other words, every harvest, every generation of seed was diminished. It didn't produce as well. It didn't. After 6,000 years, wouldn't be much. God doesn't make any seed like that, but the church has. So diminished, got us so not believing the truth, so watered down, humanized, logicalized. If Dave can make up words. It's enough that the disciple be as his master. Amen. Intelligent-ized, logic-of-man-ized, to where the church does not look like the seed that was sown. But that is changing. Our job is not to leave the cocoon until the metamorphosis is complete. I read a study one time where somebody helped the little butterfly, helped the little... Some people are nodding. They've read that same thing, and they said, well, we're going to help the butterfly get out of that cocoon. And they somehow they opened it up, could have slid in it, and let it out. You know, the thing couldn't fly because part of its development was developing the strength to get out of the cocoon. See, the last thing you need is somebody coming in to rescue you while you're in the metamorphosis process. Now, God will sustain you. You notice a little in that metamorphosis thing, as horrible as it is, if you read what's really going on, I'm dissolving. There's no light. It's all dark. I'm dissolving. Help me. Somebody help me. But do you notice it doesn't perish? It's uncomfortable. God provides somehow. Somehow it stays nourished during that process. But you got to get you got to end those things. Be strong in the Lord. See, we teach on the armor of God without starting where it starts. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Don't you even get out of that cocoon. Jump off into ministry. Jump off into one of the prophecies. People are wanting, they're going to try and pull you 6 ways from Sunday to get into all kinds of things. And it's more pleasant than staying in the cocoon. No. Stay in the cocoon. Let the process finish, because what's happening, you're developing absolutely the strength of the Lord. He has joined with you. You are going to emerge a seed able to produce what the first seed produced, because it's really no difference. It is Christ. And you have become so merged, it's just natural now. This is who you are. You're a son of God. You're not even a creature of this world. There are no limits. There are no bounds. The physics of this world do not limit you. The finances of this world do not limit you. All things are possible. But He's got us in this cocoon, and we got to stay there. Because it's the strength of the Lord Himself that's being infused into you. You're going to fly, you right, butterfly thing, you. And you're going to be pretty too. And the world is going to be a truck. See, the world notices a pretty butterfly, doesn't it? Uh-huh. See? That the world may know that Thou hast sent me. When He talked about the Father in me, and I in them, Father and Thou in me, the end result of that process is that the world may know that Thou hast sent me. Well, it doesn't mean just that God sent Him to die on the cross. God sent Him into your heart. God sent Him into your heart, and that the world needs to know it. Right now, they don't know it because they don't see the colors. They don't see the flying. The church looks like the same old caterpillar that they are. See, and I loved that about yesterday, and you know, anybody can pick anything apart. But that rally, that walk, that assembly, prayer and fasting for our nation yesterday, I loved it because it was not about church growth. In fact, they actually condemned the way that it's been done. I mean, it was so pure to me what I heard of it, and I didn't get to hear everything, so I don't know everything that was said. But boy, what the Lord enabled me to hear. They were after holiness. Return to God. Calling the nation to repent. Calling a fast. Blowing the shofar. Well, when they blew that shofar, a prophecy that came a few weeks ago, can you hear my shofar? Whoo, the hair on my neck stood up. And then to have a proclamation from our president. and the vice president be present also at the other rally. It gives me hope. There is still a dividing. The nation has never been so divided since the Civil War. But the end result of the Civil War was a cancer of slavery was removed from this nation. Okay? The end result of this one, I'm not a prophet, but he's in the process of removing things that's got to be removed out of this nation. It's ungodly to the core. It's demonic. It's got to be removed, and we are in a season of the sword and not really the symbol of peace. Right now there is division, and it's God's hand is in it. Could he understand? And again, I'm not trying to preach politics. How long has it been since you read the Mayflower Compact? I'm going to read it to you in a week or two, whenever the Lord lets me. This nation is unique in history. Lord, let me stay where I am. Don't let me get there. Let's all prophesy to ourselves from this prophecy. Lord, I am amazed how easy it is when I lay hands on the sick for them to be healed. Lord, I used to think it was hard. But it's as easy as taking a drink of water. It's as easy as a breath of air. There's no strain to this at all. Because you've given us that authority. And everything comes from within me. By the anointing of Christ in me. Because it's no longer I that live. Christ lives in me. And I believe on Him. Whom you have sent in me. And the same works are being done now. They're being done through my hands. Being done through my prayers. And it just comes natural. Why did I ever think it was so hard? Now see, that doesn't change the fact that on Fridays, for me, is the long day. Now the prayer, you know, the group, the corporate prayer, the church is open on Fridays from noon till 10. And I allow myself noon to 8, but that's still an 8-hour stretch. You know, reminds me of the old days, the trekking days. Now, it is amazing the things that come up Friday morning that need to be done. This is important. That need to be done. And my flesh goes, yes. That's important. We need to do that. And I already know usually my flesh will say, oh, we can get that done and still go pray. Liar, liar. Pants on fire. No. How do you know? Okay, going on. But your flesh will want to jump on that because the last thing your flesh wants is to die. Self-preservation is the most primal of all things. We used to have this cat named AC that was a big cat, 18-pound cat. And a big white cat, you know, intimidating really. That was the most gentle cat. We had him during the Bible study days, and people would bring their kids. Little kids. And this cat, they'd get all around it. They'd be pulling on his ears and pulling on his tail. And he would just look into my eyes like, how long do I have to suffer this? But he would never scratch him. He was so gentle. He really had a gentle nature. But I have seen him also, if he got scared, I mean, if you really back him into a corner, he'd fight you for self-preservation. Well, your flesh is like that. It knows that every hour that you give to prayer and to fasting and the word and worship, it's dying. It catches on after a while. You are killing me. You're putting me on that cross and I don't like it. Now I could be involved in this over here and we'd still get fruit for the kingdom and I don't have to die. That's what Satan tried with Jesus. You know, just bow down to me and you can have the world without going to the cross. Isn't that what he said? He didn't say it those exact words, but that's what he was doing. Yeah, you came to have all, you came to be a king, did you? Good. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Just bow down and worship me. And you won't have to go to that cross. Well, every time, I hate to say it, every time when you know you're supposed to have your hiney, can I say hiney in church? You're supposed to have your hiney down here, and you choose something else, you're avoiding the cross. You're avoiding it. You're siding in with the flesh, the part that doesn't want it. You're siding with the caterpillar. See? I was going to be nice, you know. See, I want Alan walking as a tet. Now, again, I'm going to pick on Alan because he's my friend. And he wants us to. He's already healed. He's walking it out. But bless God, he's going to walk it out. And we're wanting the day. I mean, I've seen the man already go from a hospital bed to a wheelchair. I saw him go from a wheelchair to a walker. Then I saw him go from a walker to a cane. And now a lot of times he leaves the cane in the car. You know? But see, he's going to walk in here like it never happened. Without even the smell of smoke now. That's the promise. I'm going to walk in here straight as a string, not walking like some hunched over old man. Even though I've had this since I was about six years old. And just, you know, age. I can have lots of logic. That doesn't matter. I need to walk in here straight as a string. Now that would be nice. That'd be a good start. I want our impossible box. I want Tommy Perez to stand where I'm standing now and give his testimony what great things the Lord has done for him. I want Victoria standing here with that full brain that nobody on earth can give her except our Lord. I want her standing here telling the day that Jesus came. Fill that brain out. I believe he'll give her a college education. Just boom. Now, didn't it say all things are possible? Wouldn't, and stand here and give her testimony. And each and every one of these, that's our calling. And we cannot be sidetracked. The flesh will scream and holler and please, no, not another pushing away from the table. Prayer and fasting, see. I don't like any of that. My flesh doesn't. Son of God, Gary does. Show you. Try and not go to prayer. I'm not going to let you eat for Zama days. And next time, we're going to double that. If you try to keep me from going to prayer. Just like a kid, you got to treat it like a little child. Take away its toys. For the flesh, that's push away from the table. I get all the shouting messages, Alan. You get the shouting one next. I know. They'll be going, that Alan is so good. Hallelujah. Some of you are going through real trials. It's difficult. The emotions. See, and God gave us our emotions to enjoy. Jesus had emotions. You can read where he got angry. He got angry for their hardness of heart. When he wanted to heal the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath day, he got angry. It plainly says, with anger, he looked on them. Jesus wept. Jesus had emotions. I'm sure Jesus at times was happy. I mean, what I mean is joy. You know what I mean. Lighthearted at that moment. But see, emotions are good. But we're not to be ruled by emotions. How many people commit suicide because they're ruled by emotions? No. There's a lot of times. See, I thank God for the day that my father overturned the bed on me. Y'all know that. Most of you know that story. I was probably 14 years old. And at the carpenter house, because we had animals and things, I had to get up and do about 2 hours worth of work feeding and milking goats and horses. And we had a couple of cows and peacocks and chickens and sheep. And they all had to be taken care of. So you get up about 4 in the morning, you go up and do all that. Then you come down, take a shower because you're dirty by then, have breakfast, and then go walk to the school bus to catch the school bus. See? Well, 14-year-olds don't like that. My dad, part of the reason he did that was to teach me discipline. Plus, he just wanted all those things. Nobody ever called him Saint O.R., but anyway, he's a really good man. I had a good dad. Well, one of my 14-year-old day mornings, my alarm went off and I didn't get out of bed. I vaguely remember my mother's voice, sweetly, something like, "Now, son, it's time to get up. You know, you got to get up and go take care of the animals." Gary didn't get up. Why? My emotions. My flesh liked it, and it was comfortable, and I didn't want to get up like a little kid. Well, the next thing I was conscious of, my body is flying through the air because I was in a twin bed. And my dad, he didn't say a word. He just come in, got a hold of the, I didn't know it until I'm waking up halfway through the turn, you know. He just come in, turned the bed over on me. So I'm coming to consciousness, going through the air, hitting the floor, and the bed landing on top of me. I decided it was time to get up. Do you know, to this day, I can hardly sleep past 4:30 or 5 in the morning, to this day. Hardly ever. I usually have my alarm set at 5:15 or so, and it hardly ever goes off because I'm up before it. Now, once in a while, you work me real hard, I might sleep in. What am I saying? We can't be ruled by emotions. Can't be ruled by emotions. You got to stay in the cocoon. We have to stay there. Give me this year, he said. Give me this year. You know, there's not much year left. We're almost to October. We're almost this year. I wonder what's coming next year. But I know for sure we don't have much left in this one. It's time to double down. I mean, don't let the flesh talk you out of anything. Be in prayer, be in fasting, be in the Word, be in worship. I've been working on my worship limb. It's no secret that that's been a short leg on my table. You know, if we had four legs, the Word, I know we have seven. If we had four, the Word, worship, fasting, and prayer. The Word and prayer has always been easy for me. Those legs are good, okay? I've done a lot better on fasting. That leg is longer than it ever been before. And I'm working on worship. Oh, my God. Somebody asked, what did you feel like after that season of worship? And I had to go back. I've been listening to Dave's, teaching on worship again in the early days. You know, he says and they say that once you somehow cross over, that it's wonderful. Gary doesn't know about that yet. So after my season this week, I hate to admit this, but transparency seems to help. What did you feel like after that? Well, I read a story one time about these hillbillies that were real mean guys, and they took a dog and they hooked it onto a chain to the back of their pickup. They drug it down the asphalt for about 2 miles, and that's how I felt. I mean, every emotion in me was raw. I felt like I had asphalt burn. What do they call that? Road rash. Drug down the road. And I love him. I don't know why my flesh resists that so much. I don't know. I'll know later. I'll know on the other side of this. Because I do love him. You don't think I better hide and watch. I do, too. I'll do anything he tells me. Oh, yeah, that was a great experience. What does he say the next day? Do it again. Chain, pickup, road. Wonderful. Hallelujah. What about the next day? Chain. Pick up. But see the good... Yes, sir. I'm finishing up. Says, I watched that yesterday. It was really wonderful, and it gives me hope for our nation. I'm so glad. I'm so one with them in this endeavor. But the Lord was really clear to tell me, though, our mission is beyond there. Because they weren't really talking about raising the dead, opening the eyes. They did some. Now, I take it back. I'm remembering. They did talk about it some. They did. But that wasn't the main emphasis, and it wasn't supposed to be. They're absolutely, I am 100% on board with what they were doing. But even that is not really our assignment. Our assignment is this, to go from the cocoon to the butterfly, to where Christ in us, that anointing continually flows from the inside of us, right out through our fingertips into a lost world. And it becomes just natural. Because that's just who we are. We'll see you in 30 minutes.